Welcome to Football Friday, brought to you by Twin Peaks and Alta Equipment. It's the Carmen and Yurko Show, live from Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace on ESPN Chicago.
Can I kick it?
The day before Thanksgiving, always one of our favorite shows when we are wrapping the holiday week out and about on a football Wednesday with Alta Equipment in Oak Brook Terrace, right on 22nd Street at Twin Peaks, one of our favorite stops. So come by and see us today. You know you're done working. It's holiday time. A week ago at this time, we were freezing our balls off, and now it's 55 degrees. Boy, I got shorts. I pulled a Yurko. I'm wearing shorts.
You look great, man. I got up into the 60s by me. I actually got 2-3 invitations to go play golf today.
So you're going to...
I opted out. No. I opted out. Once I put the clubs away after Vegas, the clubs are going to be away until January when I go down to Florida and slap the little white ball around.
You know, the hard thing about this time of year, even though it's so nice, like when we're done working, you can't even really go anywhere and play because the sun's...
Right, it's gone.
You know, sun's down quick.
It's gone. At some point, we were working 10 to noon.
Yeah.
And then that could still be done. But once we switch 12 to 225, that ain't happening no more.
I mean, I guarantee there are a lot of guys getting out, slapping the white ball around one more time.
They're at the club right now making it happen.
There's no reason for you not to come by and see us. Grab a cocktail. Grab a man-sized mug of ice-cold beer. Grab some food. Yeah. Yurko already ordered up the pot roast. He told the waitress he was going to slather it all over his chest first.
That's right. Well, that's the great Warren Zevon song, Excitable Boy. You know that, right?
Is that right? Is that
I went down to dinner in my Sunday best, Excitable Boy, they all said. And then I rubbed a pot roast all over my chest.
I don't get that line.
Excitable Boy, they all said. Look, how about the other one? I went to the 4 a.m. show at the Clark, Excitable Boy, blah, blah, blah. I bit the usherous leg in the dark. He's just a tad bit excitable is what it's all about.
Sounds good to
me. Then you don't want to know about the other one.
I don't. I think I've heard you say
took little Susie to the junior prom.
Yeah. We don't want
to. I did something to her and killed her and then, you know, her home.
This is not a good boy.
After 10 long years, they let me out of the home.
Yeah.
I dug up her grave and built a cage with her bones.
I thought you said you weren't going to say it.
No, but the point is, he's a lyricist. He was a dark period of time for Warren Zevon.
I don't know what's worse.
When he wrote Excitable Boy.
Pot roast.
Not only that, Carm, he wouldn't sing that song in concert for like the first
probably good idea
5-6 years he came back after the release of Sentimental Hygiene.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Well,
creepy,
I hope
but that's why I said it.
I hope you don't rub the pot roast on your chest. I hope you just eat it.
Yeah, I'm
going to
eat it. I'm going to eat it with the mashed taters, kid. It's going to be delicious. And it is a Football Friday. I want you to know
that. We got a lot of football to talk about today. The Bears-Jets game is already shaping up to be an interesting one. The Jets have decided to bench Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
He was awful,
right.
Objectively awful.
And he didn't want to take some responsibility for the way he played.
I wonder if that's more why they made this choice. As bad as he was, it's a little surprising. You picked him, second overall last year?
I believe you did.
You picked him second. He's played 20 games, you know, and you're benching. And he was terrible, don't get me wrong. Like, I went back and watched, last night I rewatched Jets and Patriots. I told myself I wasn't going to because I watched a fair amount of it Sunday live while it was happening, and it was painful. There were 17 punts in the game. 17! The New York Jets had more punts than completed passes. But I did the dirty deed, and I went back and I rewatched it last night.
Done dirt cheap.
A couple of things stood out, Yurk. He's awful.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the stats... as I watched that game, I'm like, I think he threw 22 passes. I'm like, he threw two good passes out of 22. Two. His completion percentage was 22% below expectation last week. When I tell you that that is far and away the worst of the week, like, that was more than double what the next worst quarterback was in week 11. That's how bad Zach Wilson was. But I have to wonder if... the benching is more because of what he said in the post game afterwards and not as much about his poor play because he still has only played 20 games in the NFL and he was their second pick a year ago, for crying out loud. I think some of it had to do with his nonchalant, the offense feel like you let the defense on? No. Transpose that or compare and contrast that, I guess I should say, against what Justin Fields said, where apparently, according to Albert Breer, he stood in front of his team without the cameras around, before the media had to ask the question, and said, hey, that's on us. Sorry, the defense played well enough for us to win today. So maybe that's why they decided to bench Zach Wilson. I got to say, I'm a little surprised. Mike White's your answer. Good luck to you.
Well, I think that to avoid a mutiny, I think sometimes you've got to do something. You've got to head it off.
That could be.
You know, Captain Bly, I mean, you've got yourself a terrible situation with Robert Saleh. If he doesn't listen to some of his players, hey, maybe one of the best things in the world can be for a quarterback is to sit back and get a little humility. Sit back and watch for a while. Sit back and maybe take notice. I mean, that's the only thing. Otherwise, Zach Wilson's going to be a bust and he needs a change of address. That's just it.
Right, like if they're benching him already right. because his play.
There's
like,
no other options. If he doesn't get it, if he doesn't understand it, if he doesn't become a little more humble, if he doesn't figure out that, hey, you know, he's a major part of the problem with the New York Jets offensively not getting it done. If he can't get that or he doesn't understand that, then they've got to consider, hey, what are we going to do here? Where are we at here? We're at a crossroads with this guy. Is there anybody that thinks he's salvageable? Is there anybody that likes him? And, yeah, you'd be moving him low.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're not selling high there. You're selling low. But at some point, you've got to be able to look the rest of your players in the eye and tell them, yeah, we're going to hold this guy accountable even though he's a high draft choice. Either he's going to get it or he's not. Either he's going to become better or he's not. And if they're already at the point where, hey, it's not, and he comes back and he gets himself another opportunity and he can't get it done, then you can't look the rest of that locker room in the eye.
It's interesting the way you put that. So maybe that's more of what this is, because I would be, as bad as he's been, and he's been pretty awful, I would be surprised if 20 games in you were already scrapping it. You know, so maybe, like you said, this is a chance to sit back, learn a thing or two, learn to stand up, and take account, like have some accountability and share in the responsibility when things are going so poorly for your club on offense. Maybe that's why they're doing this.
Right.
And like you said, Saleh didn't want to totally lose his locker room and felt like it was a move that had to be made.
And, you know, okay, we're just going to do something
at least
different
for now. Right, just for now.
And if you wanted to blame his flippant attitude or his defensive attitude with the questions that were being asked of him, you can go ahead and do that and say, well, it's not necessarily just because of his play. It's also because of this. Maybe he needs to sit back and take a while. But you're at a crossroads with him. That's where you're at.
Man.
Now, the organization's at a crossroads. The quarterback's at a crossroads. The team's at a crossroads. Now they're trying to figure out what they want. They want to salvage what looks like a playoff position right now.
Yeah, they're 6-4.
You want to be able to salvage that.
Like, with that offense, they're 6-4.
Yeah.
Based on the strength of their defense. And now, the one thing about rewatching that game was, and maybe we'll get to this
painful,
a little bit later. Well, as painful as it was, what they do on defense right now, and I mean, they completely manhandled the Patriots' offensive line. Now, David Andrews got hurt 15 snaps in, left the game, never came back, their starting center. Trent Brown only played about 65% of the snaps. He was in and out because he got dinged up. So, when you start playing backups, I get it. It's never going to look as pretty. Their front four, and it's not just the game on Sunday, if you've been watching the Jets at all, they are manhandling teams at the point of attack. They play with watching them play reminds me of what Yurko always says about the good, especially interior linemen, with their hands. They play violent with their hands. And I mean violent, Yurk. They are completely manhandling offensive lines right
now. When they take on blocks and how they take on blocks, you'll never see a shoulder buried inside of an offensive lineman.
No.
When you get a shoulder buried inside an offensive lineman, the tendency is to turn and run, and that's never good. They play hands in extended.
Yep.
And they control the offensive lineman until it's time to discard and make a play on the ball.
You're right, and they're violent with it. It's very impressive.
They're not running out. It's not hell-bent for election.
No.
It's not their pants are on fire, and they've got to get somewhere. No. It's get in, control them, and then wait and be patient. And don't do anything crazy. And don't take yourself out of a play.
They never blitz. They don't have to.
They don't have to,
never blitz.
That's an ideal situation for a defensive coordinator.
And so, you know, we got to get after the Bears' angle of all this and how that affects
their
game.
And was it a punt return that won that game for
New England?
In New England. Yeah. It was a punt return.
Correct.
Special teams, right?
In the game.
And defense for New England.
Correct.
Against defense for the New York Jets.
And a failed in a breakdown on special teams when they gave up a punt return
for
a touchdown in the last couple minutes of the game.
And the Bears have lost two games.
They didn't cover
that
either.
Way.
I was
two
on
games.
The Jets plus 3.5, and that punt return annoyed me. So
the Bears have lost two games with a special teams touchdown probably being the difference in the game.
Yeah.
The punt block.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then the kickoff return by Corduroy.
By Cordell Patterson. That's right. So while they're maybe at a crossroads with their quarterback, The Bears aren't, which is a wonderful thing to say. They know who their quarterback is, and he's been dynamic, and he's been fun to watch, and he's gotten so much better. Now he's got a shoulder injury, though, and I don't know that we're really going to have a clear picture today, tomorrow. The Bears, I guess, are doing more of a light practice today as it's a back-to-work Wednesday. It is a weird week. They're going to allow the players, obviously, time tomorrow to be with family a little bit on Thanksgiving. They're going to have to do something at the facility as they still have a game to play on Sunday. Courtney Cronin will give us the breakdown of all that. They're basically just saying, she's going to join us in 20 minutes. They're basically saying that Justin Fields has been cleared to practice, but he's still day-to-day. But he has been cleared to practice. I don't think it was this dislocated shoulder. Do you?
I don't know. How am I, if I don't see a medical report, how do I know it's not a dislocated shoulder? You can dislocate it, it pops right back into place.
Yeah.
The dilemma is you do it, still compromised, and it's still easier to come out again. Once you dislocate a shoulder, it has now created a groove where that shoulder can come out again.
Makes it
and
easier.
It's all upon subluxation of the arm, Carm.
Right, right.
So I'm showing you right now, it's on Twitch. That arm goes up and it goes back. That's the point it wants to pop out.
So anytime he gets in a vulnerable position.
Right. Say he landed on his arm this where it was up and he went down. Whoop, right out. That's all it would take.
Do you think he's going to play Sunday? What does your gut tell you?
I would.
Hard to tell right now?
I would hope in this situation they would try to protect him. I would hope. If that dislocation happened. But you're not going to get any honesty or any truth out of these guys.
Boy, it sure seems like 3 weeks maybe off and then let him finish the season and continue his development would be the best path to follow.
I think that would be a plan, an initial plan, plan A, then depending upon how he feels. Because, you know, you got to strengthen it. That's what you're looking to do now.
Right.
You're looking to strengthen it. But the labrum just doesn't heal itself.
You need rest? Is that the only thing that happens?
Well, you strengthen the muscles around there. Rest, you strengthen the muscles around there. I mean, the tear, I guess, will heal, but, you know, you got to get that suction back there.
Suction back.
That's what helps the stability.
I was listening to Yerk, excuse me. I was listening to, I think I just saw your food come by. That's why. That's his pot roast.
Yes.
I thought that was yours. I was listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Boy, that looks good. Yesterday, I think they were referencing something that Rappaport said on Rich Eisen's podcast.
We can play that for you if you want.
Do you have that sound, Mark?
Let me give Jake a second to find it.
Find that. Because I heard the tail end of it. I heard Waddle and
Sylvie
play it.
Why don't we play it next? We're about to break anyways. Let's play it next segment.
Because it was a little surprising. And he was the one who was originally reporting that there is a dislocation. But he's hearing that he is more on track to play, which I thought was surprising. We'll play it when we come back. Coming up bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Courtney Cronin live at Halas. We'll get an update there. Fields has been cleared to practice. Doesn't mean he's going to play. Don't know how much he's actually going to be practicing this week, but he has been cleared to practice, and they're saying he is still day-to-day. We'll play you Matt Eberflus sound, and we'll play what Rappaport said on Rich Eisen's podcast yesterday when we come back. We're hanging at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. Yurko's got his delicious plate of pot roast. Damn, that looks good. We got to get him some silverware, though. I don't know if he wants to eat the whole thing with his fingers. I know he's sort of started. And if you're on Twitch,
I will.
You see the good kid in all of his glory scooping up those mashed potatoes with his fingers. You're the best. It's not too hot. That thing looks like it's piping hot now.
The meat is piping hot, but the potatoes are at a nice, cool, like a warm,
nice
moderate warm. Yeah,
I think we might need some old fashions with that too, Yurko. It is a holiday weekend.
I know it is.
Come by and see us football Wednesday if you want to ring us up and talk about the upcoming matchup and what do you think the Bears should do with Justin Fields. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, and there was a lot of it was kind of like 50-50 on the calls. Should the Bears be careful and rest Justin Fields for a few weeks? Do you want him to play this Sunday? 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
ESPN Chicago's Football Friday is brought to you by Alta Equipment and Twin Peaks. Now back to Oak Brook Terrace and the Carmen and Yurko Show on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app, and 100.3 HD2.
Crowd is building. We got a good crew here. We are live on a football Wednesday because we're going to be off Friday. Long holiday weekend coming up. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Come and see us at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook Terrace. We always love being out here. We are talking lots of Bears, lots of football today. We'll cross talk with Waddle and Sylvie at 2. We got a bunch of sound that we want to play, though. Matt Eberflus did update Justin Fields. Not really. I mean, I say update. It's, you know, they love to. He's just talking in circles. I mean, there's really nothing.
Yeah, there's a lot of circle talking going on.
First, before we get to Eberflus, let's listen to Rappaport yesterday on Rich Eisen's podcast about Justin Fields and his pending availability in Week 12.
You know, I would say he's hurt, but his status is still TBD. I mean, it's a real, you know, it's a real injury. It's something that I think was really painful. It is a left shoulder injury, so we have seen quarterbacks sustain left shoulder injuries in the past and play. Baker Mayfield has one, and Trubisky had one a couple years ago. There's been some history of this, so, you know, I would say his status is TBA. The team feels optimistic on him playing, so that at least is a good sign, but you don't really know until you get through a couple days and see how he responds. I would say this, like, you know, he definitely is the most productive of those young quarterbacks. He's also being extremely well coached. You know, if you look what Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, has done, around the time of the Patriots game, everything changed. Started taking some plays from college, started opening everyone's minds, being like, we are going to use all of Justin Fields. And I think the Chicago Bears this year, you know, their record is obviously not very good, but it kind of feels like they are a really, really well-coached team. And I think he sort of embodies all of that.
So what is the latest with, again, his evaluation? I know you're not in the, you know, the MRI room or what have you, but if the guy's got a separated shoulder, which is, you know, the initial word on the street, right, then why is there any consideration? Are they just checking to see if it is separated or not right now, Ian?
Well, I think there's pain, and then there's, you know, how functional can you be?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's different, and he's a little different because he's very physical. You know, like if you told me, well, let's say Tom Brady. Tom Brady is playing with plenty of left shoulder injuries. He can deal with it, and it's not like he's out there running. Justin Fields is going to get hit. And if he's not, then he's not going to be the field that you sort of want out there, right? Like, if he's not going to be the dynamic multi-threat weapon that he's been, then maybe it doesn't make sense to play him. So I think that's what's different for him is he's going to get tackled, and how would he respond to that?
So that was Rappaport. The most interesting thing in there was when early in that exchange, he said the team is optimistic that he's going to be able to play on Sunday. And maybe that's a little surprising to some of us, that this seems like a good opportunity with two games and then your bye. And I know next week is the Packer game, and it is a big deal. I mean, I get it. Like Sylvie's been joking, that's their Super Bowl next week. When you're 3-8, yeah, you'd like to beat the Packers in one of those games, especially when the Packers are having such a down year. But it seems like they've reached a point in their schedule where you could give him 3 weeks and just sort of let him heal a little bit, let his body heal a little bit. I totally agree with something that Yurko said yesterday, and it's why I do hope he can still get out on the field and play. And I think, if anything, it is trending that way, that this is not a season-ending injury.
Right.
Yurko said the minute he stops playing this year, the development ends this year. There's only so much you can do in the film room.
That's right.
He continues. He needs to continue to get snaps, and I do hope he plays. I hope he can still come back and play.
The development would then continue again in March, April, May. That's when we'd start all over. You'd look at the films. You'd go over the whole year. Then you'd look at some other stuff, like, this is where we want you to get to. This is what we're looking for. This is what you'd be able to attain in this offseason coming up into training camp. This is where we want you to be.
Yeah.
Okay, let's set a goal. Where do you want to be? How much do you want to be able to handle? What should you be able to recognize and not recognize as we start moving forward? I think that's what we need to do. And the other thing is just the ability for him to throw the ball. You know, when a guy's not out of his break and having to trust. I saw Garoppolo throw a ball yesterday where he wasn't out of his break yet. The receiver slipped. Jerry Judy slipped. Okay, but no interception. Not Jerry Judy, who's the other guy? Ayuk, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for correcting me.
You got it.
Brandon Ayuk comes into the break, slips on the turf down in Mexico City, is on his way back up, but they show you the shot from the end zone, looking over the receiver and the defender, back to the quarterback, to what the quarterback sees. He's not open, but he anticipates when he comes out of his break, he's going to be in front of the defender, and he's going to be coming back to the ball. He knows he's going to be open enough for him to get the football. That's the play that Justin Fields has to have confidence in throwing. He's back there. He sees the same thing. he won't throw that ball. Mm. And when I saw it happen, I go, that's the best way to explain what Justin Fields is not doing back there and what other quarterbacks do. And I just say other quarterback.
Right.
It happened to be Jimmy Garoppolo at that point. But it's a perfect scenario. And if you wanted to go back to that game and look at it, it is. Ayuk comes out of the break. Ayuk slips. He's down. It's an incomplete pass. The defender does get a hand on the ball. It's incomplete. But you can see what Garoppolo sees, and he sees a defender behind the receiver. The receiver's going to stop and come back to the ball. That is an open wide receiver in the NFL.
Right.
That's a play that your good quarterbacks will throw, and right now Justin Fields is hesitant to throw that ball. That's where his improvement's going to come.
Right, and maybe he just needs more repetition, and that's why I do want the development to continue this year. You know, we were talking yesterday about Albert Breer's note on how Fields stood up in front of the locker room and was accepting accountability for the loss the other day, which is great. Another thing that Breer wrote in his mailbag last week that – and he even wrote, I found this interesting, and when I read it, I did too. He was writing about Justin Fields. Somebody had asked the question again about last year's draft class, and Breer's take was similar to ours. He said, not everybody's going to agree with this, but he said, in his opinion, and Albert Breer's pretty plugged in the NFL, he said, if they were speaking honestly, all 32 teams, if you ask them off the record, you know, do the redraft, they'd still take Trevor Lawrence number one. But he was writing about how much Justin Fields has ascended and how Justin Fields would unquestionably be number two at this point. All the things that he's done well, all the things that evaluators liked about him coming into the league. He's tough. He's physical. He's such he's got so much God-given athletic ability. But Breer wrote that the one thing that Fields needs more of are just pass attempts. And he wrote this. If you go back and look at, and he used Lawrence and he used Mahomes as examples. If you look at those two players, Patrick Mahomes and Trevor Lawrence, their senior years in high school and their college years, okay, compared to Justin Fields' senior year of high school and his college years, they had, each of them, had 1,200 more pass attempts than Justin Fields did. 1,200, Yerk! I was like... And he even wrote, he goes, that stat surprised me. And I was like, damn, that surprises me too. And he said they were those two quarterbacks, and a lot of it could have had to do with the systems they were in. Certainly the college system Mahomes was in were naturally throwing the ball more. And he was making the point that Fields just still needs more pass attempts, and there's more room for growth for Justin Fields.
Right, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, there's more room for growth. But that a lot of that growth is inside his own head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's here, mental. It's mental growth that he needs to happen. He's got an arm.
Well, no question.
He's got a cannon for an arm. He can throw the ball. He can make all the throws, Carm.
Yeah.
He can do it. There's only one guy stopping him from throwing the ball.
Yeah.
It's not Luke Getsy.
Right.
The guy stopping him from throwing the ball is Justin Fields. And that's the hurdle he's got to overcome.
All right, here, let's listen to Eberflus here real quick. Let's play the first one, guys. Actually, hold on. Let me look. I'm looking at the list Jake just sent. Here, let's play number three, guys. What's the – oh, this is 5 seconds. I love it. What's the official injury? This is the best. 5 seconds. What's the official injury to – what's the official injury designation to Justin Fields? Listen to Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk specifics. But, again, he was cleared. He was cleared in a limited fashion today. So
they're not going to talk specifics. Here, let's play Eberflus one. What is he looking for from Fields today?
Yeah, just how he's feeling. You know, what the medical staff is saying to him and to us every single day. And obviously we got to put that out every day. And then how he's feeling. You know, how he's feeling when he's moving, when he's throwing, and when he's just going about his business of operating as a quarterback.
So that's going to be part of the evaluation over the next couple of days when they practice ahead of Sunday's game. And finally, concerns on risking further injury with Fields. That's a good question. Let's listen to the head coach.
Yes and no. I mean, we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. I mean, we'll see tomorrow. It'll be more of a faster pace. We'll see when he's moving full speed, during that time, during the drill work and stuff like that. So we'll be able to tell.
Yes and no. That's a hell of an answer.
Yeah. So the next important question that needs to be asked, simple. Will he be wearing a harness?
I wonder if that was asked.
Will we have something that's going to inhibit the movement of that shoulder?
You got to ask Courtney if that was asked.
That's
good
it.
Question.
I mean, that would be the key question in that situation.
It was, shoulder and we will get that here in a sec.
Oh, right. It was asked, Jake. Thanks.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Let's listen to that, too. We'll talk more about it with Courtney, too, coming up next. She's going to give us an update from Halas. 312-332-3776. Ring us up. Come by and see us if you're in the area. We're in Oakbrook Terrace. Twin Peaks Football Friday with Alta Equipment. We'll be right back.
Carmen and Yurko are live at Twin Peaks and Oakbrook Terrace, eating all that food and talking about all that football. This is Football Friday, the Wednesday edition on ESPN Chicago.
You know, I'm not going to talk about that. I don't know. I don't know. I would suspect that if I were to answer that, you know, I don't want to get into all that. It's harness or not harness.
He's a skilled, crafty vet when it comes to – he's only been a head coach for not even a full year, but he knows, boy, does he play the game like Belichick and some of the other coaches around the NFL. So you're not going to get anything out of him in terms of injury. Okay, let's see if Courtney Cronin knows a little bit more. She joins us every week. She is at Courtney R. Cronin on Twitter. Make sure you follow her. Read her great stuff at ESPN.com. And she joins Carmen and Yurko. We are live out and about for a football Wednesday as we're wrapping the holiday week. Come by and see us. Kick off Hell Wednesday in style. We're here at Twin Peaks in Oakbrook Terrace. Courtney, pretty much what you expected from the head coach today. You guys didn't learn much, did you?
No, but first, before we even get into that, I need to ask you guys, because I'm dealing with a huge dilemma because this is my first Thanksgiving home in a long time. I was just informed that the takeout, the carryout that my mother's picking up from an establishment in Glenview does not include macaroni and cheese. Am I wrong for being
upset?
Outraged at the moment and just wanting to quit the rest of this day?
No. I mean, I don't know how mac and cheese isn't part of anybody's feast, especially
well,
if you're...
I'm going to disqualify myself from the conversation. I've never had mac and cheese at Thanksgiving dinner, so I'm out. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
So this is this normal, like, Illinois behavior? Like, did I miss something all my years being gone?
No, I don't think so. It's a little surprising because I feel like for a kind of holiday dinner that it would be one of the staples that a restaurant would offer. You're going to have to make your own.
Apparently, I'm going to get off air tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., have to come up here and talk to Luke Getzey, and in between then make 3 pounds of mac and cheese. Like, I wish I just would have made the whole dinner myself at this rate.
Basically, you're going to have to make your own. Here's the best advice I'll give you. Use cavatappi as a noodle. It's got the twist, and it's got the ridges, and it holds the cheese sauce real well and all the melty, gooey goodness. So use cavatappi.
Yeah, none of that elbow macaroni, you know?
Yeah.
None
of that. It just slides right off. That's the best advice that we can give you, Courtney, all right?
Okay. Well, no, I appreciate that because I've just kind of been dealing with that little news dump that I had a couple minutes ago. But to the more important thing with Justin Fields, and we just saw him on the practice field. They're doing a walkthrough today. You know, Matt Eberflus is still going about this competitive advantage thing. He doesn't want the Jets to know anything ahead of time, whether Justin Fields is going to play, whether he's not going to play. He has been cleared to practice, though. So that's a step in the right direction if you think the right direction for him is actually getting back onto the field. So I heard the sound there as I was coming in. That was my question to him on will he have to wear a harness.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any sort of details from Matt Eberflus on things like that. But what we know right now is that Justin Fields is still being classified as day-to-day. Matt Eberflus would not tell us the extent of the injury. What I told the guys on Waddle and Silva yesterday is that I've been told it's not a dislocation, and seeing him out there today proves to me it's not a dislocation. You could see him a couple times during the reverse lunges they were doing in their little layup line stretching. He was able to move both arms over his head, not in a really rapid manner, but that's not really what the drills, the stretch is for anyways. But nonetheless, they're going to try to take this thing down to the wire, I would imagine, because if at this point on Wednesday, which this is a walkthrough, it's not normally a walkthrough ever on a Wednesday, I think this is their way of having to get around actually listing him as limited versus the estimation that he's going to be limited in practice today.
That's interesting. So maybe that's why they've made some sort of calculated decision here. It's funny, a 3-18 going to such great lengths to make sure that the New York Jets don't know,
who
their starters. But I do suppose the game plan, the prep, I don't know how much the prep for the Jets changes. Maybe a little, depending on the quarterback they're going to face, but I also think the Jets are so good.
Not a little.
A lot?
A lot.
I mean, Simeon can run, though.
Yeah, but he can't run like
no,
Justin
No, nobody
Fields.
Runs
He's
like
not
Justin
breaking
Fields.
A 67 or a 61-yarder for a touchdown.
Nobody runs
me?
Like Fields.
But basically all it would be is do we spy or don't we spy? With Simeon, mm-hmm. they're not going to spy. That's it. That's the difference. There's nobody sitting there, a fifth guy, where they have to commit to stopping Justin Fields.
What's tomorrow's practice? Is it a little bit more back to normal, even though it's the holiday and they want guys to be around family a little bit? Are they going to have some sort of designation tomorrow, do you think, Courtney?
They'll have a designation tomorrow. Tomorrow will be an actual practice. It's okay. going to be shorter. Friday is when they say they're going to go back to normal, and it'll be a full, you know, full strength sort of practice. But that also probably eliminates them going in pads this week because you typically don't put pads on a Friday. Mm. And granted, at this point of the year, it's week 12. I don't think they necessarily need to do that because they're trying to preserve the health not only of their quarterback but of, you know, several other guys. They had a pretty lengthy injury report last week. So I would imagine that they're going to taper back regardless. They're going to have to do the bare minimum to be able to call it a practice, a classified practice, and not a walkthrough. But yeah, the schedule change was interesting today, and we will hear from Justin Fields at 1:25, so we'll get a chance to not have to talk in the hypotheticals if he were to practice because, you know, they're doing the walkthrough right now. But I am curious about how he got cleared because what did the medical tests, like medical staff, what are those tests look like that they put you through to clear you? Are they manipulating your shoulder? Do you have to do throwing exercises even though it's with your non-throwing shoulder? Like, how does one get cleared? And, you know, I will be asking him, are you going to have to wear a harness? Because I've seen AC joint injuries before and other shoulder injuries where that's the only way, and typically these happen with running backs. I know Josh Allen had to wear something similar a couple of years ago, so I don't know how comfortable something like that would be just to be able to keep it in place, but I would imagine he will have to have some sort of apparatus to make sure that he's not injuring himself just straight up by the movements that he's making out there.
Fields meeting the media today, designated as at least a cleared-to-practice player for the week. Maybe they are just playing games with the Jets and they know full well, but this seems like he's trending to play on Sunday, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, if you believe what they say and taking it at more than just face value, then yes. But I also think that this team is self-aware enough to know, even though they are playing games with the, you know, designation and the gamesmanship. Even Matt Eberflus, like, was, you know, was asked about it today, and he said that, you know, it does, you know, play. It gives them an advantage not letting their opponent know who to game plan for. Because as Yerk was saying, like, yeah, you have to spy him. If it's Trevor Siemian, that's a giant no. Sure. But I think they have to weigh it because there's the long term. You don't want to make this thing worse than it is. Like, there's long term ramifications at play here. We asked Eberflus about it on Monday. You ask him again today, and I think his message is sort of the same when he's talking about how, you know, if a player goes out there, he can't be in position to harm himself. So they've got to err on the side of caution. They're not going to try to put somebody out there that they don't feel good about, that he doesn't feel good about. But I think with someone like Justin Fields, you have to step in a little bit more forcefully than you would other players because he's a tough guy. He wants to play through things. He's willing to do that. And at some point, you got to protect the player from himself. And I think that that was kind of a read between the lines sort of moment from Matt Eberflus earlier today, where he may be medically cleared to practice. And I mean, to play is a completely different thing, but it, you know, how is this any different than a Tevin Jenkins situation last week, right? I know different players, different body parts, but Jenkins was medically cleared to practice on Friday in full and medically cleared to play. He was active. He doesn't see the field. So he felt he was only capable, according to Matt Eberflus, to be in a backup role if needed. Would they potentially do the same with Justin Fields? Like, I just don't understand how the two aren't, you know, just how they treated those two injuries very differently, in except the designation, if Fields were to play, like he would play versus how Tevin, I don't know. It was so confusing to me. I've never heard anything like that, and I'm still confused by it. But, you know, it just feels like it might be a little short-sighted to have him out there considering this is your future. You have a bye week in 2 weeks. You're 3-8 right now. You have to think about the long-term ramifications of this thing. And what happens if he gets hurt again? Because you know defenders are going to be looking at that shoulder, and that's where they're targeting.
Well, didn't Tevin Jenkins clear himself? and then told the world that he couldn't play and he was just available for backup duty. I was going to ask you, has Tevin Jenkins released a statement yet?
You shouldn't be active if that's the case. Like, if if they leave it in the hands of the player at that point, he's not able to play, and he says that, then you go ahead and make him inactive and you give that roster spot to somebody else. That's, like, I just don't understand. It feels like we're talking two different things here when it should be uniform in terms of their injury policy and who gets the game day activation. Like, I'm still baffled by the way that the Jenkins thing went down last week, where I'm healthy enough to play, but I'm going to be a backup because I'm not really 100% healthy. So, like, what percentage of healthy does Justin Fields need to be more than just, in that same case of a Tevin Jenkins, a backup? But that's, I'm still, it goes over my head. I don't understand it.
The dilemma on this team is just that. You know, why is it that Tevin Jenkins can decide what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it? And I think that's part of the Tevin Jenkins problem that has kind of reared its ugly head. For as great of a player that he's been this year, when he's been on the field, he's been pretty damn good.
Yeah, he can play.
But the problem is that when you've got somebody that's temperamental like that, is the juice worth the squeeze? And when eventually is it no longer worth the squeeze and it becomes more a pain in the rumpus than it does him being an effective football player out there? I guess the only great thing is that you've seen some good football on tape.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to move him in the offseason because he's a pain in the rumpus, you know, mentally, because he doesn't want to play sometimes, that might be a way to go ahead and relieve yourself of what might be a headache in the future.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. And I think that that's something that you have to consider. I'm still blown away by the way that that was handled last week, where if you're healthy enough to play and you're a starter, you play. You don't relegate yourself to a backup role. That doesn't happen in the NFL. I don't know if other sports if that happens. It doesn't happen here. So, in the way that Matt Eberflus, he gently handled it during the post-game press conference in Atlanta when he talked about it. It almost felt kind of telling the way that he described it, putting the onus on the player that he was cleared, he was able to play, but he said he was only capable of doing X, Y, Z. Like, that to me was kind of telling.
That was pretty calculated by Matt Eberflus, I think. For a guy that doesn't like to, right, Courtney? A guy that doesn't like to say a whole heck of a lot, I think that's the coach. Hey, we're not going to protect you now. So that was very telling. I think you're right on about that. All right, anything else we should know, Courtney?
Yeah, apparently Lucas Patrick's done for the year. We weren't going to find out about that, which is, you know, one of those, like, Matt Eberflus made it sound like, oh, slip my mind, guys. He's supposed to be coming eligible to come off IR this week,
by the way.
He was. And he apparently had toe surgery a couple weeks ago. Not this week, not today. A couple weeks ago he had toe surgery. So, yeah, by the way, he's done for the year, in case anybody cared or wondered, which is interesting just because of the way that this team has handled injuries. Eberflus told us back in training camp that if anything was more than day-to-day, like if it was going to be a long-term thing, they would let us know. And yes, mistakes do happen. But that one felt a little strange that when we're asking, hey, is this guy going to be, is his 21-day window going to be activated soon? Oh, by the way, he's done for the year. Toe surgery. Slipped my mind. Forgot to tell you guys.
Sorry, guys. Good luck with the macaroni and cheese and have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next
week. Thank you, guys. Take care.
See you, Courtney. There's Courtney Cronin. She'll be all over Bears the rest of the weekend at the game in the Meadowlands.
How about a radiator? Radiator pasta.
Would you do that?
I mean, it's got a lot of nooks and crannies.
You want something that's got the exact, that holds the cheese sauce. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, Luke, what a disastrous year for poor Lucas Patrick. Yeah. I mean, it never fired. I mean, basically hurt the whole time, but with the hand and the toe.
They asked him to play guard, and he can't play guard.
Yeah, not good.
When they did get a chance to play him at center, I think for about 15 plays, he looked good at center, and then he got hurt.
It was rough. Yeah. Rough year. Wipe this one out, I guess. You know, throw it in the garbage and
whether you like it or not, that's what you have to do.
I know, absolutely. All right, 312-332-ESPN. Let's take some Bears calls. We've got more sound to play. We're talking Bears-Jets. I want to play Robert Saleh talking about their decision to bench Zach Wilson, which, as bad as he's been, seems a little surprising, but it could have more to do with his post-game press conference when they lost to New England last week. It's Kermit and York. We're live at Twin Peaks Oakbrook Terrace with Alta Equipment on a Football Wednesday. Come by and see us on ESPN 1000.
Kermit, Yurko, Football Friday on Wednesday, Twin Peaks and Oakbrook Terrace. This is Football Friday on Wednesday on ESPN Chicago.
Oh, man, we got a good crowd brewing here, a good kid. I'll tell you that much. We're live at Oak Brook Terrace with Alta Equipment on a Football Friday.
Take us through, Carm. We got
Windy City Gabe. We got Big Len and Carl here. We got Mike Jimenez, Hollywood Mike. Jimenez walks in like Jimmy G.
I told you that he's
the most handsome guy in the room.
I thought he had put a 10 jersey on him. I thought one time I looked up in the Gloaming, I thought I saw Jimmy G.
He literally comes walking in. I'm like, look, Garoppolo's here. Put the Twitch camera on, Mike. Let's embarrass him a little bit. He's the most handsome guy in the room. He comes walking in. He's all dressed.
How am I going to put the Twitch camera
on? He's all dressed to the nines.
Am I a miracle worker? I could just turn the camera on?
Come up between the two of you real quick.
Mike, come here real quick. Danny from Schaumburg's here. I had owed Danny from Schaumburg a bottle of Booker since the summer because I lost an NBA bet to him. I finally paid that off.
Mikey's coming up.
No more betting bottles of Booker's either. I'm done. I love Booker's. I'm done hunting
Mikey,
down Booker's.
Mikey, over here.
Mikey, come here. Take a look here, Randy.
Between us right now.
He looks like Jimmy G walking.
Only he's taller. I think he's taller than Jimmy G.
I don't know.
I stood next to Jimmy G.
Look how handsome.
If he wore for Halloween, if he wore the 10 San Francisco jersey, I think he'd be fine.
You should do that. One year.
And go walk. Nose is a little messed up.
Well, yeah, he's a fighter. His nose is a little messed up.
You look good though. You look
Mikey,
tougher
Mikey
than
Mikey was a pro boxer.
Yeah,
Mikey was a pro boxer.
He said the wife likes it.
His nose is a little messed up. That's true.
The wife's digging daddy's chili. Yeah, that's what's going.
Nobody asked you to come up here. Nobody can follow.
The most
Mike.
Handsome man in the world. Look at you. Look how handsome you are. Danny and Schaumburg.
So that's the scene, Merck. We got a good crowd brewing.
We brought a handsome man up, and then we brought Danny from Schaumburg.
He just somehow weaseled his way in.
Oh,
how many punches would it take Mikey Jimenez to knock me out?
To knock you out?
Yeah.
Nothing.
A half a punch.
It'd take him nothing.
Take a half a punch to knock us all out.
All he'd do is cough, and you'd be down on the ground.
You'd be done.
We got some callers here, Carm.
Yeah, go ahead, Merck. Let's get a few in, then we'll do some more after 1 o'clock.
We got Roy in Minneapolis.
What's up, Roy? What's going on, Roy?
What's up, Roy?
Hey, boys. First and foremost, happy Thanksgiving to you all. Thank you for providing some great entertainment on a weekly basis. Anyway, what I want to chime in on is I know this is very meatheadish, but if Justin says he's ready, he thinks he's ready, I think you play him. And I'll tell you why. I think the biggest thing is the reps. Yurko, you kind of mentioned that. You know, if you want to master or perfect something, I'm a teacher, and I always tell my students, you got to do it 10,000 times in order to master or perfect something. And I think you give them more opportunities to be back there, see the reads, make the plays, you know, just get more passing yards, and I think you do that. I actually kind of like the way the Bears and Eberflus is playing this. You know, very coy for a 3-18, but I think you just you trust your quarterback. You say, hey, if you're ready, we'll put you out there. And you know, obviously the team, they trust him. They view him as a leader. And you know, if he's ready to go, then I'm going to be looking forward to playing, seeing him play. If he's not ready to go, then, you know, play Simeon. You know, that's fine. I just think you give your quarterback that benefit of the doubt because he's proven his toughness and his leadership on this team.
Yeah, Roy, thanks for the call, Roy. I don't think you're being meatheadish by saying it at all. Now, would I be, you know, if it were me and Justin Fields and I'm looking at my schedule, would I be a little bit more, would I lean towards being a little bit more cautious and say, hey, we can give him 3 weeks off? Maybe. But I don't think you're being meatheadish by saying if a player is cleared to play and he wants to play, he should go play.
Yeah.
Well, we sort of have always lived by the rule when it comes to pro sports. Like, if you're physically able, you should play.
I remember what I told you. It's the 3 hours on Sunday. That's what you do all the work for.
Yeah.
You know, I don't bust my ass all week just to be able to work all week and then come the glory time, the time where you get to go out there and you get to do it for real on Sunday, you all of a sudden throw it in the garbage like it's nothing.
Right. And as much as he's probably hurting, and I'm sure that injury is painful, if it was never dislocated, if he doesn't have to wear a harness, if, as Courtney was saying, yes, they're only doing a walkthrough and they're doing light stretching, but his arms appear to have full range of motion, if he's just – then okay. If you're telling me, like, no, look, Justin got his shoulder banged up, and he's going to be in pain, and his body's hurting. All their bodies are hurting. It's week 12 in the NFL, for crying out loud.
And because,
they're all in pain. If you're going to tell me, like, he's physically able, okay, go play.
And because they won't divulge any information at all, what happens is if he goes into this game and he gets hurt, and he's really hurt, now you ask yourself who knew what, when, where, why, and how come we didn't get all the information, and why did you put him at risk? So that's what happens. I mean, anybody can get hurt in any NFL game.
Anytime.
But if something's compromised and you play them and then it gets worse, now you ask, well, who knew what, when, where, why, and how come he was put at risk?
Sit tight if you're on the phones. We'll grab a bunch of your calls coming up. We are guest-free the rest of the way. We're going to cross-talk with Waddle and Sylvie in an hour. We might get a few minutes, actually. I say guest-free. Todd Furman may give us a few. He's taping his podcast. He's traveling for the Thanksgiving holiday, so his schedule's a little sort of jumbled up and
discombobulated
this week too.
Yeah.
He said he might have 5 or 10 minutes that he can give us.
He's heading to McCarran Airport himself.
Yes, it's not McCarran anymore. They renamed it.
Yeah, they did.
They named it for Harry Reid, I believe.
I believe they did. Even though the signs still say McCarran, and there's one that says Harry Reid.
Oh, is that right?
But the signs still say McCarran. I was there.
We can call it both, York.
Yeah.
So Todd might join us. We'll see. Otherwise, we're guest-free up until one when we cross-talk. So we want to hear from Bears fans. And we want to continue to talk about what do you think the Bears should do. A little bit more deep dive into some of the numbers and some of the defensive things that the Bears are going to have to go up against this week against the Jets. I did rewatch the Patriots-Jets game, which was painful. But that Jets defense has some teeth right now, man. And it is very, very impressive. And I'll throw a few things at Yurko as he tries to break it down for us. We should do your keys today. It's Wednesday. We're not here on Friday.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm prepared for keys.
I know you are.
Time.
It's Carmen and York. We're back in 2 minutes.